If you're a mortgage sales professional, you are not going to want to miss today's episode. JC and I are going to dive into the five things every serious mortgage sales professional needs to be doing with their realtor partners to combat and to aggressively attack the way of the world after this NAR commission lawsuit settlement. You ready to go? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to the Loan Officer Podcast with me, Dustin Owen, and my main man,
JC
John Coleman.
Dio was popping.
Another day, another month, another episode of T-Lop.
I know.
Getting myself a new mattress.
Sounds horrible.
Have you guys gone mattress shopping anytime soon, John?
No, we have not.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Whatever mattress I've inherited through life, that's the one I keep.
Good for you. No, we have a defected mattress.
Would you get it, Serta?
It probably is a Serta. I have no idea what it is. Whatever it is, it's so defected that we have to get a new one.
California King?
I do have a California King, I believe.
I would hope so. Not yeah. A queen or twin, you nerd.
But no, but my wife had me this past weekend going to the mattress store.
Sounds horrible.
And laying in bed after bed after bed. It got to the point where I'm like, they all feel the same to me.
What you mean?
They all feel the same.
It's I know. Just go.
Yeah. No, you know what? I do like something that is one step below the firmest. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
And foam really intrigues me, but I'm scared of it because I've always done pillow top.
Why don't you go like whatever Dak Prescott says in those Sleep Right monitor beds? Why don't you try one of them?
Because Dak Prescott is not a winner, John. Damn. And Kyle Draper and Tim Davis, if you're tuned in, and all my other Dallas Cowboys fans, I apologize. But Dallas and Dak haven't had a
burn.
They have not had an opportunity.
Well played.
You're going to say sick burn. True story. I promise y'all we're going to get into the episode really soon. People are like, Jesus Christ, fast forward to the meat and potatoes.
I could give a shit.
But no, this is really funny. So I did the thing for Rocky last night. So anyone who's a part of the MLO Study Buddy group and our buddy, Rocky Lagergio.
Shout out, Rocky.
I hop on once a month and I do like a free coaching call for Rocky's group. Typically starts at 8. Supposed to end at 9. I never end on time. I go about 9:30.
Sounds right.
And when I do that, I go upstairs into our spare bedroom, and that's where I set up to do those calls. Well, that spare bedroom is next to my daughter's bedroom. Well, I get out. It's 9:30. I peek my head in, and my daughter and my wife are giggling. And they're giggling because they're making fun of how loud I am. My wife's like, Dustin, I could have heard you downstairs. And she's asking my daughter, how do you do this once a month? And she's like, I just put in my earbuds and turn on Taylor Swift or whatever she said. But I was like, oh my gosh, I just learned this new word, f off. And they're like, boom, boom, shh. I had them laughing. I had them rolling.
Hold on, that was your story?
That was my story. Terrible, huh?
Holy shit. All right, bad.
That was really bad. I'm sorry.
I mean,
John.
You're a dad. I know.
We're 400 plus episodes into this podcast. I start getting nervous. Nice. Yeah. That's so, okay. Anyhow, mattress shopping, Rocky. That's what's going on in our world. But you know what also is going on? This damn settlement. Like, it has dominated the news. I feel like we could almost change the name of T-LOP to NAR Commission Settlement.
NAR. What does that stand for?
National Association of Realtors.
And who owns that? Is that a government entity?
No, it's a trade organization.
Like,
it's like the Gestapo for realtors.
So like,
they did all the lobbying and all the, they're the Teamsters for realtors.
So
they
like,
did all
hold
the
on,
lobbying.
NAR is basically the NRA just with the letters.
Yes,
swapped.
Yes. It's a union. It's a union. Don't hate on us, NAR, by the way. We sometimes use humor to educate. But yes, that NAR was one of the largest and most powerful lobbying groups in the United States until recently.
And when did this come about? When did NAR start?
100 years ago.
Okay, so it's been around.
I mean, yeah, how long has realtors, real estate agents, and the real estate industry been around?
Good, because I get to ask you these questions because I'm ignorant to the subject on purpose.
But I'm guessing like, if you go back to the 1920s, I'm pretty sure that we were buying and selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I know that real estate, the way that we know it, boomed after World War II. And that's really where we started leaning into VA home loans, started leaning into FHA home loans. And there was loan programs available for people putting little to no money down.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, you know, transformed. But if you go back to, I think HUD was a product of like the 1930s. I think by 1929, we started having like housing agencies.
Okay.
So yeah. So let's just say round about 100 years.
Okay. So it's a mature organization.
Yeah. But you know, the settlement itself, I mean, Cindy Velez came on the show.
Shout out Cindy Velez.
Last episode. It was an hour and 20 minutes. Rarely do we have a good episode that goes an hour and 20 minutes. We've had a couple dog episodes from back in the day.
Watch your mouth.
That ran too long. Yeah. Dude, that one attorney who came on.
Shout out that one attorney, Joseph Steinberg.
Oh, come on. Don't throw him underneath the bus.
Why? You can go back and look at it. It's fucking sort by length.
Hey, that was long AF. And by AF, I mean always and forever. But no, this NAR commission lawsuit, I mean, it's a lot of unknowns. It's going to rewrite the way things are done for the next 100 years. And it's very important for Cindy and I to do what we did because that's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
Today's episode is geared specifically, though, for mortgage loan originators, MLOs, loan officers, mortgage brokers, anybody who is in the field of financing residential real estate, and more than likely, realtors, real estate agents are their clients. They are their referral sources, and I want to teach you all what we're currently teaching our loan officers in my branches that I help manage. These are the five things that we're telling them right now. And by the way, this is fluid, but right now, these are the five things that we feel like mortgage loan originators can do. And most importantly, and I covered this in one of my recent coaching calls with our TLOP MLO coaching community, I feel like this is an opportunity that comes once a decade. Once a decade, you get an opportunity to pick up the phone and call every realtor you know, every realtor you want to get to know, and every realtor that you wished would look your way and schedule one-on-one time with them. Be a supportive partner. Be a solution provider. Be an advocate for their cause and meet with them to discuss what does this mean and how you can help. Also, what are you hearing? What are they hearing? Mm-hmm. And collectively, how can we come up with solutions that we can continue to support homeownership in America so that we can continue to be the source of information in our communities so that we can make sure that all home buyers have the ability to buy a home?
Word.
But while also operating underneath the new rules that are set forth by this settlement that, by the way, you and I don't need to cover because Cindy and I did a great job of covering. We've talked about it on coaching calls to put it in the newsletter. There's even a really good article or two up on TLOPOnline.com. And by the time this drops, you and I are going to be 2 or 3 weeks out from going out to Housing Wire's big event, The Gathering, where I promise you for 3 straight days, we're going to be talking about the NAR settlement. So if you want to have some high level, deep conversations with super smart, experienced people, I think there's like 60 spots left. You should go to TLOP Online and check out what's going on at The Gathering and how you can be a part of that event. If you can't make The Gathering, that's all well and good. I promise you this, in June, when we're out in Vegas for Mastermind Summit, that's like the loan officer event of the year. Guess what we're gonna be talking about then? I promise you. We're going to be talking about the NAR commission settlement and how we as loan officers can be a part of the solution, right? So this isn't going away. So today, you and I are going to spend a little bit of time, hopefully nothing near as much time as Cindy and I spent.
I don't know. You can talk.
And we're going to be talking about just the five things.
Okay.
You ready to go?
It'll be mostly me listening and then interjecting jokes. It's one of those kind of episodes.
It's kind of one of those episodes.
So I'll get started. So the NAR settlement, that just means realtors get paid less. So they're bitching about that.
Possibly.
End of story.
Nah, it's more than that, John.
Really?
It's more than that. Yeah, when Cindy was in here, you took a couple breaks to go outside to do whatever you do in your car. So you didn't get to hear the full episode.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty confident you go back and rewatch what you edited together the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what you're going to realize is that, no, it's way, way more convoluted than just realtors are going to make less money.
Okay, good.
And that's not even a guarantee. And there's a lot that's still up in the air. But what we do know is that the way real estate's been transacted is going to be forever changed. But we're not confident change is bad. We're not confident change is good. It's just change. It's different. So as a lender, which this episode is specifically for lenders, we're going to cover the five things that I'm currently coaching in my coaching community, right? That's the TLOP MLO coaching community. If you're not being coached and trained and you're not a part of a community that's filled with people just like you and you're being coached and trained by top producers, y'all don't know what you're doing, don't know what you're thinking, check it out, right? Pretty simple. And it's also stuff that we're covering in my branch meetings, on my all hands calls with the mortgage company, Waterstone Mortgage, that I help run, operate, etc. So I'm giving this away to everyone for free.
Yay.
Which is what we do on the podcast, because your dumbass tells people what?
If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah. If it's free, it's for me.
Oh, no. Right. Otherwise, I'll just steal the shit. It's also the same thing.
Nonetheless, though, but we're gonna do surface level, right? On our coaching calls, in our branch meetings, we get deep.
Yeah.
But this is at least going to be the free part.
Okay, let's start skimming.
All right,
Skimming, like skimming through, because it's
skimming,
not
skimming or scamming?
Skimming, because it's not deep, Dustin. Are you picking up what I'm throwing down?
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but you could have said scamming because it's free.
That's also a word, yes.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit of a Freudian slip, or maybe I just misheard yeah. you. All right. No, the first thing that LOs need to be doing, y'all, I said it in the intro, you have to be out there meeting with hundreds of real estate agents in your local market. Even those that you don't know, even those that kind of know who you are and you kind of know who they am, and definitely with the ones that you already know. And you needed to approach it as, I would love to meet with you to talk about solutions for how we can make sure buyers still have the representation that they desire and deserve, and how you can also make sure you get compensated as a realtor, right? Because that's the big concern. Buyers have to understand that this settlement wasn't really in their favor. It was in the seller's favor, but it won't end up being in the buyer's favor. And realtors have to understand, and this is what Cindy and I talked about, that realtors are going to have to now start operating in a manner that they never had to operate before. Simply put, realtors are going to have to start selling their value up front and selling their worth up front in order for someone to hire on with them and sign that buyer's agreement.
What do you mean? That sounds like a loan officer to me.
Sounds just like a loan officer to you. Yes. Like, we in the lending world, like, hey, welcome to the party. We've been doing this for like 40 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but the real estate community is going to have to catch up to this.
Okay.
So guess what? Your loan officer, realtors, they know a thing or two about having to sell value, about having to sell their service. You can learn from them. Loan officers, this is your opportunity. When you're trying to meet with those 100, and I'm telling you, that's the number. If you want to be successful and you care about your long-term future in this industry, make a goal. I challenge you to get face-to-face or Zoom-to-Zoom, belly-to-belly, one-to-one with 100 licensed real estate agents between now and July 1st. Now and July 1st, and you're there to be solution-oriented, but you're also there to teach them a thing or two about how you sell value, because that's something we've had to do all along. Is we sell our worth, we sell our value, and we do so upfront. You can now start teaching your realtors. You can also start teaching them things like the most basics is understanding how exactly loan programs and products operate as it pertains to seller credits. And that's actually step number two. So step number one, I promise five, there's five things you should be doing. The first one is you have to meet at least 100. I mean, this is your biggest opportunity to get out there and spread your brand, market yourself, connect with the most people, network like nobody's business. And by doing so, you'll expand your network. What happens when you expand your network?
You expand your net worth.
You expand your net worth, yes. And that's what we're trying to do as sales professionals. We're trying to generate the most leads so we can close the most loans and make the most money, hopefully so we can save the most. We can give the most back to the less fortunate and change our communities while also changing our lives for the better and enjoying the hell out of life, like travel and buying cool shit, right? Mm-hmm. So that step one is get out there and meet, be a solution provider, and even give examples about how you and your business sell value up front. Number two is educate. You are going to have to educate the realtor. Start with the most basic. Start with reminding them of seller contributions on each transaction. What do I mean by that? I'm just going to rattle it off. If a owner-occupant borrower is buying a home, primary home, they're putting 5% down. We know the maximum seller contribution is 3%, going Fannie Freddie. If they put 10% down, we know the maximum contribution is 6%. If they're putting 25% down, we know the maximum contribution is 9%. Okay, you should create some kind of a cheat sheet that you can give realtors with this. Because we also know if they're buying an investment property, only 2%. And the reason why this is important is that in certain transactions, depending on the market, depending on the situation, the buyer may have agreed to pay a certain commission to their representative, to their buyer's agent, but the seller's not willing to cooperate. The seller's not willing to negotiate that they're going to cover that. So now it has to be paid by the buyer, put on the settlement statement, at which point you may want to negotiate a seller credit, but on an investment property, the maximum seller credit is 2%. So your realtors need to know this, as well as, like, let's use an investment property. Investment properties don't allow for gift funds. So maybe you were trying to buy an investment property. You had enough, John, you had enough money for down payment and closing costs, but you didn't have enough money for down payment, closing costs, plus 10 grand to pay your agent. So you're like, oh, no big deal, realtor. I'll get my dad to give it to me. I'll have my mom give it to me. Except for you can't get gift funds on an investment property. So loan officers, when I say educate is step number two, this is what I mean. Walk them through maximum contributions on FHA, on USDA, on VA, but watch out. Because VA currently when we record this, VA does not allow for the buyer to pay for any realtor compensation. Like Fannie, Freddie, FHA, the buyer can pay it. Mm-hmm. You can use the seller credit to offset it. VA currently, I can see that changing. This is why I say currently. But currently, VA does not allow for it. But you have to understand what are the maximum contributions towards closing costs. By the way, little trivia for you. The maximum seller credit on a VA home loan is not 4%. And if you want to challenge me, I'll fight you on it. The maximum seller credit is not 4%. It's whatever is common and customary. It's whatever is common and customary and no more than 2 discount points. But there is not a actual percentage. That percentage is in a concession, which is different than a seller contribution. So look that up, you loan nerds. But so many times I see, oh, the maximum contribution for closing costs on a VA home loan is 4%. I'm like, no, actually, it's incorrect. But nonetheless, right, we're getting into semantics, but those are details that a top-notch originator who's a technical wizard would mm-hmm. know.
There you go.
So that's the one thing you can do to educate. The second thing I'm going to tell you to do to educate, you as a lender, if you are following step one, that means you're meeting with 100 realtors. You're having those conversations. What are they hearing? What are their brokers telling them? What other solutions have they heard from other vendors that maybe they partner with? Mm-hmm. You can be a source of information for all of your agents. Meaning you go out and you have the meetings, you collect the information, you hear the stories, you hear other people's solutions, and then you go back and regurgitate or disseminate that to your network. I made an entire career, and if I didn't say that correctly or clearly, I'll repeat myself. Mm-hmm. I made an entire career by being friends with everyone in that particular Keller Williams office to where I introduced coworkers to each other. I'm like, oh, John, you're an agent at KW? Yeah. So is Jenny. Do you know Jenny? You're like, no, I don't know Jenny. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she works right down the hall from you. Oh, we've never met. Mm-hmm. I played connector. When I mastermind with one real estate group, I take some of those best ideas and I share them with the next real estate group, right? So I end up being a source of information. I end up being a connector. And there's no reason why when I'm trying to educate, I can't take all of the information that I'm picking up from these tens, if not hundreds of meetings that I'm having, take the best parts and start sharing them with others. And that's going to be very imperative for loan officers to do 6 and 12 months from now. Because if you listen to Cindy and I's episode from a couple of days ago, so much is unknown, right? And it's not going to be weeks or months. It may be years before it all kind of settles and we kind of have a good idea of what the new world looks like. Mm-hmm. You as a top-notch lender can be the person who's bringing the latest news to your circle of influence, to your referral network.
There you go.
There you go. Are you ready for number three?
I hurry up. My eyes are glossing over.
All right. Has nothing to do with the cushions. Express the importance of collaboration. Like, it was always suggested to realtors that you need a good lender. You do. Realtors need a good lender, sometimes a good lender or two, mm-hmm. depending on how many tools the first lender brings in their tool belt. A good realtor may need a backup realtor, a backup lender. Mm-hmm. But going forward, the communication between buyer's agent to listing agent is going to have to be 5 times better than it ever was. It's a true negotiation where they can have open, honest conversations about what their buyer's able to do, what the seller's willing to do, and how they can get that drafted on a contract where the seller gets compensated, the buyers get compensated, the seller gets represented, the buyer gets represented. But you're going to have to include your lender in that. Because two realtors talking, a seller and a buyer negotiating, what if that doesn't work with the financing? What if those financial rules, regulations, or underwriting guidelines prohibit what it is that they tried to do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's every reason why a buying agent needs to have a open, honest dialogue with their buyer's lender is because they have to understand, hey, exactly how much can this person afford? Worst case would be down payment, closing costs, plus my realtor commission. Or best case would be just down payment and we get the seller to pay closing costs and realtor commission. Or somewhere in the middle is kind of the old school standard traditional. Buyer pays for down payment, buyer pays for closing costs, but the agent or the seller is going to pay for the agent's commission. So when I'm thinking of like collaboration, I'm also thinking about not maybe in today's market, but if I fast forward a year from now, the MBS market, the mortgage-backed security market, that's where we as lenders go to get our money or where we deliver loans to. Honestly, we get our money from warehouse lines. We deliver loans in the secondary market. And then based on spreads, there's times where you can actually build credits up into the interest rate. My example would be if rates are currently at 6.5%, at 6.75%, I could afford to give my particular borrower a $5,000 credit. Well, these are certain tactics that certain lenders will have to deploy as they collaborate with the realtor partner because they're trying to find a way for buyers to be represented. Like we already know, if you go unrepresented, are you getting a fair shake? Is it a fair negotiation? You know, the analogy I use, like if I was going to have to defend myself in the court of law, do I really want to have the prosecutor defending me or do I want to go and get my own representation? And then it's like, what type of representation? Do I want the public defender or do I want, you know, the Mac Daddy attorney? Mm-hmm. Well, I want the Mac Daddy attorney as long as I can afford him or her. I guess I'd rather have a public defender over having the prosecutor try to prosecute me while also defend me. Mm-hmm. Right. And very much this is what we're looking at in real estate. So when we're looking at like ways to collaborate, you know, ways to collaborate is to show financial strategies where we can raise money for the borrower to use to deflect cost or defer cost. Mm. Essentially, hey, pay $50 more a month, but you don't have to pay $5,000 in realtor commission. Which, by the way, and Cindy did a good job on our last episode of really pointing this out, realtor commission has always been financed in. Right? Think about it. Like you bought a house for $400 because there's a 6% commission being paid. You financed in your realtor commission because you paid $400 for the house instead of paying $376.
Yeah.
If I did that math right, John.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's tomato, tomato in so many different cases, but there's new rules that we play by. Let's learn to play by them and let's hope that nobody gets hurt while doing so. So that was number three, is the importance of collaboration. And I gave you a couple ideas of how you would collaborate. The next two are wildly important, but they start to touch the fringe, just FYI. Number four, if you've been listening to me for the past 2 or 3 years, or you're a part of any coaching program that I was a part of, or if you go out to Vegas and listen to me speak in June at Mastermind Summit, I'm going to tell y'all that I have been saying it's a race to the consumer. Most of us as mortgage loan originators didn't do a whole lot of consumer-facing marketing. Most of our marketing was to realtors, to builders, to financial advisors, or our circle of influence, our past client database. And that'll still be our bread and butter. But 2 or 3 years ago, I was saying, hey, look, because of the consumer behavior of the millennial generation, because of the consumer behavior of Gen Z, which by the way, y'all, total sidebar, Gen Z is not buying houses for a decade. So I know y'all love to go around the country talking about, we got to get ready for Gen Z and we got to hop on TikTok. You can, you 100% can, and you should. Just make sure it's a fraction of your attention and a fraction of your effort. Because those dudes and those dudettes are nowhere close to being 33 and 36. And although we all have those outliers that we know, my nephew and his girlfriend, they bought a house when they were 22 and 23 years of age. That's not the norm. That's not the pattern. That's the outlier. Okay. But nonetheless, it's a race to the consumer because the consumer behavior of the millennial generation, who is peak first time home buying age right now, and the generation behind them, they're still going to listen to their mom, to their coworker, to their realtor, as long as you have a presence online, as long as they can see your YouTube video or watch some of your reels or visit your TikTok channel. So we have to do a better job of racing to the consumer because the referral from the realtor won't be as strong going forward. The referral from the mom and dad isn't going to be as strong going forward. The referral from the coworker isn't going to be as strong. So we already knew that that was going to be a part of our play. Well, this NAR settlement expedited things. Where I'm saying you have 2 to 3 years, now I'm saying you have 2 to 3 months. You have 2 to 3 months to be making content and to be shifting some of your marketing attention towards talking to home buyers. That was something I learned in my career 5 years ago, John. I found that I was missing opportunities because I was telling people I'm a mortgage banker. I'm a loan originator. They sounded sexy to me. Great titles.
The hell is that?
Correct. And that's what like my wife's bridesmaid was like texting me one day. Hey, JJ and I are looking to buy a house.
Do you know anybody that can help out with that?
Yeah. My realtor says I need a pre-approval letter. Who do you know that does that? I'm like, oh my gosh.
I would click.
First and foremost, why did they go out and seek a realtor without my advice first? Because
you didn't do a good job of telling them what you did up front, Dustin.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So like the first thing I would tell anybody is quit doing pre-approvals. You should have quit doing them like 5 years ago when I started talking about this. Quit doing pre-qualifications and you do home buyer consultations. And after your home buyer consultation, you can help somebody with their pre-approval letter.
There you go.
But like when you're marketing to your friends, your family, your circle of influence, your neighbors, your ex-coworkers.
They do not give a shit about
your title.
Yeah, you're like,
look, no. Well, they maybe care about it, but their title doesn't tell them what you do for them.
Yeah.
What do you do for them? I help people buy houses. What do I do for you? I help people get the right financing on the house they already own. Right? Those are things that I do. So number four, just keep in mind, it's a race to the consumer.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Number five. Think outside of the box with me on this one, John.
I cannot wait for this.
Think outside of the box. There could be a world. I am not saying there is going to be a world. There could be a world where someone like me runs a mortgage company or runs a mortgage branch or a mortgage region.
Okay.
And maybe I market my services to home buyers where I say, if you do your mortgage with me, I will provide you a real estate concierge service. Maybe things don't shake out the way that we want them to for home buyers. Maybe some of this settlement is very punitive towards home buyers. We hope it's not. We hope, again, it's going to be a lot of the same, just done differently.
Mm-hmm.
But if worst case does happen and buyers aren't being represented, what if I as a lender could say, look, I'm going to employ 3 showing assistants in my region. I'm going to employ 3 transaction coordinators that all have real estate experience.
Mm-hmm.
And John, if you come to me to do a loan with me, you also have access to my team of showing assistants and transaction coordinators. That means someone's going to help you show property. Someone's going to help you write your contract, negotiate your offer. And then someone's going to help you follow that through the process. And something like that would be, make sure you get your home inspection is done on time. Make sure your mortgage application paperwork is turned on in time. If the appraisal comes in low, that you know how to renegotiate the appraisal. Someone's going to be there to help you do the walkthrough. Someone's going to recommend you to the locksmith and the moving company, like all things that a good realtor is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if the market and the environment moves to where buyers, especially first-time home buyers, have to pay truly out of pocket, and sellers aren't willing to give seller credits to cover the out of pocket expenses. Now this is doomsday. This is like worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a lender, we need to be prepared. What if this is what unfolds? What if this shakes out? I want to have a solution. Well, my solution is I'm going to go out and hire people to work in my office. Now, granted, I have to get with my attorneys. I have to get with my compliance team. I have to make sure we're doing everything on the up and up. But how cool would it be if I could offer these types of services to anyone who's getting a loan with me? Like that's like number five. You should be having thoughts similar to those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying those are the right thoughts, because I've heard some crazy shit. Bonus here. Well, what if lenders just went out and got the real estate license? What if realtors went out and got their lender license? I really don't like either one of those solutions. To me, all of a sudden, you become a jack of all trades and a master of none, and that does not work when you're talking about someone's largest purchase transaction of their life. Either be a great lender or be a great realtor. Do not try to do both. That is the world according to Dustin Owen. You can hate me for it if you'd like. You can disagree all you want, but I'm not going to move away from that. But I am hearing, if there was a bonus to this episode, I'm hearing that could be a potential. Me personally, I'd rather focus on being a great lender and go out and just hire showing assistance and transaction coordinators and offer that service as a concierge service to anyone who's doing a loan with me. That's why I made that one number five. But there you go. There's five things right there that mortgage loan originators should be doing and should be thinking about immediately so that you can make sure that you represent the future of the mortgage industry, so that you can make sure that you are going to be a successful next-gen loan officer.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing, Dustin.
John, you look absolutely enthralled and excited. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap it up.
Thank God.
We're going to wrap it up, but here's one thing I need.
Okay.
If you noticed,
yeah.
JC and I do not run any ads. By the way, let me ask you a question. You've been doing a great job of getting some YouTube videos up on our YouTube channel that are not podcasts, but they have ads that run in front of them.
Yeah.
Is that like by design, or did we not tell YouTube that we didn't want to run ads, or do we want the ad revenue?
I want ads now on them. The podcast will always be free.
Okay, podcasts will always be free, but if you're going to watch one of our videos, you have to sit through 15 seconds of ads and then click the next button.
It's fine. It's everyone's conditioned to do that now.
They are.
You pay for Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime has ads in it now, Dustin. Netflix is next.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, I meant to ask you that offline, but I was thinking about it right now. But no, you listen to this podcast. We keep this podcast ad-free. You subscribe to our newsletter. What you'll notice, we don't have any sponsors of the newsletter. We do that by design and on purpose, but in return, here's our hope. If you like what we're spitting, if you like what we're producing, sharing is caring. Please share this, not with one, not with two, but with three people. Follow us on all of our social handles. We are at the Loan Officer Podcast. My first name is Dustin. My last name is Owen. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Even if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple or anywhere else you go to listen to podcasts, give us the 5-star review, but go over to our YouTube channel at a minimum. Just hit subscribe, because that YouTube channel now is more than just a place to watch the podcast. Mm-hmm. It now has shorts and it has intentional YouTube videos. Plus, John's been chopping up a best of, and he's been producing 4 to 6 minute clips of some of our best episodes where you just get to watch the highlights of that particular episode. So you're not going to want to miss tuning into TLOP Online. And if you are a mortgage loan originator, and you need coaching, which most of us do, me included, John included. We are coached here at TLOP. I'm coached as a mortgage professional. You need coaching. I can't think of a better community for you to be a part of than the TLOP MLO community. Go to TLOP Online and inquire about whether or not it makes sense for you to join this community. And then finally, I can't remember all of this because I'm going to be at a dozen different places between now and August 1st.
Yeah.
But keep on checking out TLOP Online, and you'll be able to see the events that I'm going to be at. Things like MBA of Florida is doing an MLO summit. Florida Association of Mortgage Professionals is doing FAMP on the Run. One of those is on April 9th. One of those is April 11th. I'm going to be doing stuff with the Mortgage Bankers Association of Georgia. I'm going to be doing things with Housing Wire. We're doing things with Mastermind Summit. All of this is on the website, TLOPOnline.com. We're going to be back with FAMP this summer. End of July, beginning of August. I'm heading up to Oklahoma to do something in the fall with the Oklahoma Mortgage Bankers Association. Then I'm doing something with the Arkansas Mortgage Bankers Association. So y'all, keep tuning in. Come out, show up, say hi, get your learn on, get your network on. And if you need us, call us. If you need us, text us. If you need us, hit us up on TLOP Online. He's John Coleman. I'm Dustin Owen. That's all the time we have for you today. But we do look forward to catching you on the next episode.